All right. Praise the Lord. Thank God the app is starting to work. Hopefully so. And hope everybody had a great week. And hope everybody's trying to stay warm and doing your best to stay safe. That's for sure. For the sake of time, we'll jump into the Word. Well, we'll pray, then we'll jump into the Word and see what God has for us. Father God, we come to you today with hearts that are appreciative of everything that you've done for us. God, I thank you for the heat that each one of us has. I thank you for the cars or the trucks or the transportation that each one of us has. I thank you, God, for always being there. Yahweh, we thank you this morning that even though sometimes we have difficulties with technology, that you're above all and you're in all. We thank you that your ways are good, that you're a great father. We thank you this morning that we're going to get a word that will help us, that will encourage us, that will inspire us to show people your mercy, to show people your love so that their lives can forever be changed like ours. God, I pray that you will give us the great kind of faith that we read about in your word. And by faith, we believe these things are done. We honor you. We thank you for everything that you've done and are going to do. And we pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture today comes out of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. I've taught from the scripture several times in my life, and I absolutely love it for many different reasons. But early this morning, as I was reading the scripture, the Lord asked me a question in the scripture, and I'll read it in just a second. But Jesus says that there's a centurion, in other words, like a general, an army leader, that has great faith. And as I was reading that scripture, right after I read the great faith, the Lord whispered to me and asked me, what made his faith so great? Why did Jesus call his faith great? So that's what I want to talk about today, is how can we have great faith? All right, Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Verse 7, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. This morning, brothers and sisters, I'm sure all of us have faith. We had to have faith to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We had to have faith to push start on the coffee maker this morning. We had to have faith to get into our car and turn the ignition or push the ignition button. Every single day of our lives, we're exercising faith. It might not be necessarily spiritual faith, but we are exercising a belief in something that if we perform a certain action, then this or that will happen. You can talk about really deep things, or you can talk about very, very simple things like on a microwave, that if we punch the popcorn button and put the popcorn bag in the microwave and close the door and push start, we believe in 2 minutes and 48 seconds or whatever it may be that we're going to have some popcorn ready to eat. Why do we believe that? Because we've done it time and time again, and the same thing has happened. We know that if we'll perform what the instructions say, then we'll get the result that we desire. Well, today, brothers and sisters, the same thing is true in the kingdom of God. You have Jesus walking, you have Jesus on a journey, and a man in verse 5 coming up to him saying, listen, I need help, and I need help for one of my servants. The first way that you and me can develop great faith with God is that we can be honest about our situation. How many of us have ever tried to fake it till we make it? How many of us have told people that it's not as bad as it seems? Or we put on a happy face in front of everybody when all hell's breaking through in our lives? How many of us, when somebody says, hey, how you doing today, have given them the routine answer, oh, blessed and highly favored? Or I'm doing good, how about you? Or I'm great, or I'm well, how about you? Have we ever stopped to say, listen, my kids are going through a struggle? Have we ever stopped to say, I didn't sleep last night because I had a demonic dream? Have we ever told somebody I'm going through in my body? You see, the centurion didn't give Jesus a fake answer. And neither should you or me. I understand sometimes when people say, hey, how are we doing? We give them the regular or the mundane answer of, oh, I'm well, how are you? Because I agree, we shouldn't share our business with everybody. We can't trust everybody. But when you have brothers and sisters in Christ, you have family members or close friends or loved ones that ask you from a genuine heart, hey, how are things going in your life? And I encourage you to be honest with them. Give them the same honesty that this centurion gave Jesus. And more than anything, when you sit down and pray to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, you and I don't have to be fake. He already knows our heart. We don't have to tell him, Jesus, everything's okay. I'm learning to deal with it. We can tell him, I had a headache this morning, and you are the healer. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We can tell him that our finances are messed up. We know that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We can be honest with the king, because in this story, the centurion walks up to Jesus and says, listen, I need help. And I don't need help just for myself. I need help for my servant. I want to encourage you today to be honest with Jesus. And I know it's a real simple thought, but I promise you in my life, sometimes when I'm sitting down with God and I'm praying, I'm so busy praying that I don't even listen. Or I'm so busy telling God what's wrong that I don't even look for the answer. I'm so busy complaining, sometimes I don't take time to remember what I have. And if one thing that I've remembered over these past 2 days is when I walk out into the cold for 30 seconds or a minute to go to my car and I begin to complain how cold it is, I think about the homeless. I think about people that don't have it. A couple days ago, I took a delivery to a lady that needed it after our normal delivery hours. And as I go to her house, I'm on the phone and she tells me that she has sheets and blankets stuffed in certain creases of her house so the air don't come in. She tells me ultimately that her trailer is falling apart. And I was such in a bad place that day that I was complaining that I didn't have my gloves. I was complaining that my car wasn't warm. I was complaining that this didn't happen and this didn't happen. And ultimately, I was humbled by God when I went to this lady's house and knew at any given time this structure could fall to the ground. You see, brothers and sisters, one of the things it does when you and I are honest with God is it makes us look reality in the face. The first thing we can do is that we can tell God our honest heart. And the very next thing the centurion did in verse 8, the centurion said to him, in verse 7, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. In verse 8, the Bible says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. The very second thing that we can do if we want to have great faith is that we can worship. The centurion got a word from Jesus that said, listen, I'm going to come and do exactly what you're asking out of me. And the immediate response of the centurion is, Lord, I'm not worthy. What a great act of worship We talk about the woman with the alabaster box breaking it on Jesus. We talk about all these great things. We talk about David dancing before the Lord. But what about the centurion when he was about to get exactly what he asked God for? He asked Jesus for a miracle, and Jesus said, listen, I'm on the way. But before Jesus could come to his house, the centurion instantly goes into an act of worship. You know what I would have did? I'd have said, let's go, Jesus. You want a piggyback ride? Jesus, you want to ride on this horse, or you want to ride on this donkey? You want to ride in my car? I would do everything possible to get Jesus to from point A to point B. That's what a lot of us will do. We try to rush up the situation. We try to make it happen right now for this reason, at this hour, at this moment. What if we took the time to say, Jesus, this is what I want, but let me worship you and put you in the position that you deserve to be in? The centurion did it. The centurion said, listen, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, but let me exercise some faith. And that's the third thing that we can do today, is we can allow our faith to play out. We cannot have faith that stands still. We can allow our faith. We can exercise our faith. We can put our faith into motion. James says it like this: faith without works is dead. James said, listen, you show me these people over here, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, saying, listen, you'll know who I serve by the way that I live. You'll know who I serve by the way that I give. You'll know how I serve by how patient, who I serve by how patient and loving and kind that I am. Brothers and sisters, I believe a lot of us are good at being honest with Jesus. I believe a lot of us know how to worship Jesus. But I think where a lot of us, myself included, get hung up at is we fail to exercise our faith. We fail to allow God to be God. The centurion's response back to Jesus obviously was, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. But this last part speaks to me. But the centurion says, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. How did the centurion know that Jesus could just speak? Because he exercised his faith. He put two and two together. He said, and just for the sake of time, I'll summarize it. But the centurion said, listen, Jesus, I'm a man under authority just like you are, but in a lesser way. If I want my servant to do something, I tell him to go do it and he does it. If I tell one of my leaders to go do this, he takes care of it with haste. He doesn't question my word because I'm the one with authority. But the centurion was honest. He worshiped. And then he worships again and says, Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. But I also want to worship you and let you know that I'm not in as much authority as you are. My authority pales in comparison to yours, Jesus. God, you're the one with authority. How many of us today, if we told God he was the one that could make it happen, he was the one that we believed that if he spoke, it was done. That if he commanded, that it stood fast. What if we believed that if we loosed angels around people, they were protected until they got back home? What if we believed that if we anointed somebody and prayed the prayer of faith and anointed them in the name of Jesus, that they would be healed? What if that was enough for you and me? I promise you one thing today, that if Jesus was coming to my house, I'm telling you with all honesty, there's absolutely no reason I would stop him from coming, except maybe shame or embarrassment or something like that. But not if he was coming to heal my son or my daughter or my friend or my dad or my wife. Absolutely not. Come on, Jesus. But this centurion exercised his faith in such a way that the Bible goes on to say, Jesus looks at him and marvels. I want you to think about that for a moment. The same one that was there when him and God told the stars to stand still in the sky. The same one that told Mars to be in this position and Pluto to be in this position and the tree and the rabbit and the bear and all these animals to be created. The same one that was there for all those miraculous things looks at this man and marvels and says, I haven't found such great faith like this, not even in all of Israel. In closing today, brothers and sisters, the reason that the centurion had great faith, he was honest and specific about what he wanted from God. He worshiped. He worshiped the King of Kings. And lastly, he allowed his faith to be real. He exercised it. He took what God had given him and he put it into practice. And the Bible says that Jesus said, let it be so. And the centurion had no doubt when he got home that his servant was healed. Today, I want you to know that there's no doubt you are loved by God. There's no doubt you're forgiven. There's no doubt that the blood of Jesus washes you from all unrighteousness. There's no doubt that you're in a right relationship with God if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and that you believe on the third day he got back up. So my question is simple. What's stopping us from having great faith? Because we're mad at somebody? Because we won't forgive somebody? Because we think somebody did us wrong? That's going to allow you to, or stop you from going to the house of God to worship? Because somebody didn't speak to you? That makes you so mad that you can't forgive them, or it stops your prayers from getting to the throne room. Why do we allow hurt and disappointment to stop us from getting to the one that can erase it all? I want you to know, and it's a cliche and it's a simple thought, but that Jesus has everything that you and I stand in need of. He has great faith for us. God is desiring so much and in so many ways to give us the desires of our heart. But we're stopping at being honest and we don't worship. Or we're being honest and we worship, but then we don't exercise our faith. When we put these three things together, and you can read it in the scripture, the Bible has so many things that come in threes. Faith, love, and hope. The greatest of these is love. It's all in the scriptures. There's things in threes. And today I want you to know that there's honesty and there's worship and there's exercising your faith. And if we'll do these three things, then I promise you manifestations will come about. Then we'll see healing. We'll see deliverance. We'll see freedom in the area of our finances. We'll see freedom in the area of our thoughts. I know a lot of us are tired of the enemy playing games in between our ears. I know a lot of us have bad thoughts all the time. But God says if we'll take those things and bring them into his subjection, then he'll give us peace beyond understanding. My last thing today is, 2 days ago, we were practicing volleyball. And Alex calls me and says, hey, listen, a part of the house is getting cold. And instantly I get frustrated thinking one of the air conditioners, whatever, went out. And when I got home, one of them was messed up and it wasn't working. And man, I was mad. Oh man, I was frustrated. I spent the next hour grumbling and complaining and trying to put a heater in mine and Josh, or my room. Joshua sleeps with me. And I was doing all these things until about an hour and a half into my complaining and blah, blah, blah. The Lord gets my attention and tells me to go back downstairs. And ultimately, I go back downstairs and there's like a condensing pump that was full. I empty it. Well, I break it, first of all. But by me breaking it and spilling water everywhere, automatically it turns the heat back on and everything's fine. And as that happened, I mean, I was a little frustrated that I spilled water everywhere, but I was more frustrated that instead of trying to fix the problem, I complained. Instead of being grateful for the three AC heater units we have working perfectly, I wanted to complain about the one that was messed up. I wanted to get frustrated. I wanted to be angry. And as everything goes back to normal and blah, 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 and it's probably a $50 or $100 fix, whatever, I don't know. And ultimately, nothing bad happened. But my choice instead to worship, my choice instead to be grateful for the three that works perfectly was to complain. And God didn't beat me up about it, but he did allow me to see, instead of trying to fix the problem, I chose to complain. Instead of trying to fix the problem, I chose to get angry. What if I would have just thanked God? What if I would have been honest and worshiped? Would God allow me to exercise my faith and show me what the problem was? I believe 100% yes. So I hope next time a problem arises, I can be like the centurion and I can have great faith. God wants you to have great faith. He wants me to have great faith. And today I believe he's given us a recipe to succeed. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you. I thank you that when we mess up, you don't beat us up. I thank you that when we mess up, you're there to forgive. And today, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray that as they travel, they're safe. I pray that as they go home, that he works great. I pray for people that don't have a home, God. Yahweh, I pray that somehow, some way you keep them warm. I pray that you will loose angels all around them to minister to them. And I thank you for the things that we do have. And I thank you, God, that you're giving us the great faith like the centurion had. Because God, we're going to be honest, we're going to worship, and we're going to exercise what you've given us. And God, we're going to see miracles. By faith, we consider these things done. We love you and we thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.